Happy Easter to all of you, especially if you're away celebrating Easter at another parish or with your family or far away. It's the eighth day of Easter. It's the eighth day since Easter Day, and so we would say we're still celebrating the day of Easter. Like, we celebrate it all through this week, even through today, as if it's still that same Easter Day, because the joy of Easter. Like, we can't restrict it to 24 hours. So the church celebrates Easter Day for 8 days, and then celebrates the Easter season, of course, for 50 days all the way until Pentecost. So after the resurrection, Jesus becomes a little bit elusive. He pops up unexpectedly, passes through locked doors, and then he disappears. He's working to prepare his apostles and his disciples for what will happen after the ascension, which, again, is in several weeks, just before Pentecost. At the ascension, just before Jesus ascends to his Father to send down the Holy Spirit upon his church, he tells his disciples, preach the gospel, baptize all nations, forgive sins, cast out demons, heal the sick. He commands them to do his work, what he has done. And, I mean, this is really like the telltale thing. When St. Peter baptizes someone, who is it that conquers death and brings that person to new life? It's not St. Peter, it's Jesus. So after the ascension, Jesus is not absent, but he is present and acting and saving, but unseen. So he's doing this in a new way. So what we say is all that was visible in Jesus before the ascension, when he walked this earth in his body, all that was visible in Jesus, his power and his mercy and his love, has passed into his sacraments. And this, then, is the place of his presence and of his power, of his healing, of his forgiveness. The sacraments that we know are visible things by which Jesus does and gives invisible things. The visible things we know, water or oil or a priest or bread, and the invisible things, his presence and his power and his forgiveness and his healing. In baptism, well, there are some people here who are just baptized 8 days ago, so they can tell you. In baptism, you feel water on your head. But the reason that you're there is to encounter and to receive Jesus' victory over death. There is something visible, tangible, but what happens, like the thing that we're there for, is Jesus' own power and presence that's hidden in these visible things. So Jesus is not gone, is not silent, is not inactive, and this is the important thing, we can grow in our capacity to meet the living Jesus by learning how to go from these visible things to the invisible. This revealing the hidden Jesus through visible things is an essential part of normal Catholic life, but it's not talked about very much, it's not known very well, it's not practiced very much, and without it, like, we're really in a bad place. You can just consider Mass, for example. Without moving from the visible to the invisible, then it ends up being, at best, words that we have memorized and actions that we do well. We stand up or sit down or kneel at the right times. We turn to the person next to us and give them the sign of peace at the right time. That's all great, but these are the visible things, you know? If we don't do what we're talking about, move from visible to invisible, then always we leave underwhelmed, and even just feeling unfed. Just one example of this is that, at the Easter Vigil last Saturday, incredible things were happening. The Lord was doing just like crazy things for all of us, but especially those who received the sacraments of initiation. And many of their families who were not Catholic, some of them Christian, some of them not Christian, but many of their families were there to support them. but not because they believed in these things. And so at the end, they could say, like, that was a nice ceremony and appreciate some of the beauty and the music and the prayer. But I imagine for many of them, they only had the visible part. You know, they saw the water, or they saw the oil, or they saw the candles that we receive in baptism. But without moving from the visible to the invisible, then it remains a nice ceremony. For us, who love God, who believe in Him, who are Catholic, who go to Mass, it's a little bit like this, and this is kind of a sad image, but it's like we cross a desert, and we are so thirsty, and we finally come upon an oasis, this huge amount of cool, fresh water, and we bend down to drink, and we take out a thimble, and we dip it in the water, and we take a sip, and then we say, good Mass, and then we go home, and we're still thirsty. The problem is not that there's too little water, but that we brought too small of a cup. In all of the sacraments, but especially Mass, there is so much, because we encounter Jesus himself, the one who stilled the storms and who raised the dead. We encounter him and we are unchanged because we only take the smallest sip. So we want more of Jesus. We want to know him more. We want to be changed by him more. We want him to know us more and to have a greater hold on us in our lives. Jesus is infinite, bottomless richness. He is our life and our hope and our strength. He is the light of our hearts, and we want to drink deeply of the abundance of his heart. So the way that we go from a thimble to a bucket to plunging in the water and plumbing the depths is by learning how to go from what is seen to what is unseen, to go from the visible things of the sacraments to the invisible reality that they carry. And this thing that we're talking about, it has a technical name, it's called mystagogy, okay? It's a Greek word, it's a big word, mystagogy. But it doesn't have to intimidate us, it just means what we've been talking about. It means meeting Jesus where he aches to be found, or he told us we can find him, hidden. So we're going to talk about this for the next several weeks. By learning to go from what is visible to what is invisible, we will unleash the power of the sacraments to nourish and to transform our minds and our hearts and our families and our lives, because we want more of Jesus. We want to drink more deeply of his richness. And the good news is that up to now, wherever you are in your life of prayer, in your study of the teaching of the church, or your knowledge of scripture, wherever you are, up to now, all of us have received only a tiny fraction of the fullness of Jesus.